Hey everyone, big news from the boys of The Last Podcast on the Left.
Check out The Last Comic Book on the Left, our most sinister comic anthology. Ooh. It now has a volume 2.
Please pre-order now at z2comics.com. We have an even bigger stable of artists and talent and writers and everyone that we did for the first one, although the first one is fucking amazing and it's still available on z2comics.com. But we're asking you to go pre-order number 2, z2comics.com.
You're going to like the way you read.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Hail Guy.
There's no place to escape to.
This is The Last Podcast
on the Left.
Side stories.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes. Pennsylvania's still there.
Pennsylvania. You were in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, home of John Fetterman. How was it?
It's Pennsylvania, but the spirit of the people.
Did you eat at Geno's?
No, where we're not in Philadelphia, very different. You're being racist against Pittsburgh.
Did you eat at Bobby's?
It's incorrect. Actually, I ate at Primanti's.
Oh.
But Primanti's is, it's fine.
Why is it only made with children who are premature?
What?
Prematurely born.
Oh, no.
House hires a lot of ex-cons.
They should.
Absolutely.
I'm glad that they do.
Ex-cons. I love them. I would hire nothing but premature baby adults if I had a restaurant because they get things done faster. They know exactly where they belong.
Is
this
why
world.
You're anti-abortion? Because you're trying to get the fetuses to work?
That's correct.
So you're looking for
right?
the you're
anti-abortion.
Looking for it. You want a fetal work system.
Fetal
you,
workforce.
You want to put these fetuses to work.
Fetal workforce.
Fetal workforce.
It's actually kind of fun.
Fetal strike force. That's what we need to send over to the Ukraine.
Absolutely. Of course, we're always pro-choice here on the episodes. And of course, in real life there, I'm happy we opened up
you
with
did this.
That.
You
fantastic.
Did this.
Fantastic.
You
fetal
started
workforce.
It. You started
folks,
it.
Welcome to Side Stories, everyone.
God,
I am Ben.
Whatever you're going to do with your guts, I couldn't give a shit.
Yeah.
I was telling the stories because this is an unidentified home that Natalie and I spent time in because legally I want to be covered on this.
Okay.
Right. We went.
Are you about to spill the beans?
It's fun.
He's about to spill the beans.
So we set up a fun retirement party for Natalie's mom.
Fantastic.
And it was a big family reunion.
She was a nurse. She saved lives during COVID.
She did.
She needs an award. She needs an award.
She does.
And a round of applause.
The award she got was her freedom.
Oh, fantastic.
So now she doesn't have to be a nurse anymore. But, you know, Woo. Big ups to nurses. We always celebrate them here because we are going to need you when we're 80 years old. But listen.
Absolutely.
So we rented out this place that we then found out afterwards. It was way outside of town. We found out afterwards that it was supposed to be exceptionally haunted. It's not only just exceptionally haunted, but it was haunted with some form of demon-like activity.
Would you have rented it out had you known it was full of demon activity?
Yes.
Well, you missed. We did on Open Lines on Sirius Radio. Thanks to everyone who called in. We did an episode on summoning this week, and a woman did call in, and she said that a demon had been attached to her since she was 17. She's now 34 years old, and she doesn't seem to enjoy it so much, Henry.
It's very difficult. But this man, we'll get into the story. Let me unpack this a little bit.
Okay.
So we arrive at this home, right? And the owner, who was, at first, he seemed to like fire. I thought he was just letting us in. Right. And so
wait, he stayed.
No. So let me tell the story.
Oh no.
So we arrive, and he's there, right? And we're all like, okay, cool, it's fine. We start like setting up for the party, and it's cool, and we're doing stuff, and he's just like, Mexican food. And we're like, yes, sure.
Uh-huh.
And actually, he's not leaving, right? And we finally,
what do you
we're
mean
like,
he's not leaving?
We see he's not going to leave, and we're like,
so he's in the living room with you guys.
Yes. And so that's fine. Again, it's his house, right?
It's
his house.
Not fine.
I know.
No, it's technically your house. If you rent it for
Kissel,
that time period, it's your house.
Kissel. You're talking about, this is the monologue I did,
okay.
But I'm trying to be fair because it's a story, right? I'm trying
okay.
to be fair, right? Because at first you're like, all right, it's your property. You're going to do whatever you want. But then he's like, you're going to love what I'm going to do tonight.
Oh my God.
And we're like, what do you mean tonight? Because we thought that you'd be gone by the time the party came, right? Because
yeah, you got to go because you rented out your house.
But he said, I like to do a little thing I'm trying to turn this into sort of a Downton Abbey style environment. We're like, well, you mean like indentured servants with people that were born into money for no reason. Like, but that's not what we're trying to celebrate here. We're trying to celebrate a very hardworking woman that managed to make it through COVID.
Downton Abbey. It's like white fiction.
It's very scary.
But it's
just
horrifying.
I absolutely hate it.
They don't talk about the atrocities.
Yeah, I hate the classes cosplay of it. I hate it, right? But then he shows up, so he puts on, I swear to so we didn't ask him to do this. Right. He puts on a full tuxedo.
Oh.
Right. He puts on a full tuxedo with white gloves.
Oh.
And proceeds to hand and serve people at the party. And all of Natalie's family members do very surprised. We're like, why did you hire a butler for the party? We knew that you were Hollywood elites, but I didn't know you needed to bring your butler. Like, did you need to do that?
And oh,
I
was so just, you were kind of getting some shade. They were throwing shade.
No, they were very, honestly, they weren't. And for that's an exaggeration. But truly,
but
we were like.
You felt a little self-conscious as a Hollywood elite. You were like, I don't want to be here with the butler either.
No, we just didn't want a butler. We just didn't ask for a butler. We didn't hire a butler.
What do you do? I butle.
But the entire home, right, was filled with these like kind of haunting pictures that he would start to explain one by one what the pictures were. The newly photoshopped picture of his brand new fourth wife, right? She because she wanted to be a part of the tapestry of the home. So she started including herself amongst the pictures that he had purchased that he said looked like these and the spectral woman that he saw in the backyard several times. So he started telling the story. We're like, okay.
Are you sure this person is alive?
I've always
been.
That came up.
Like you tested his blood. You like poked him with a pin, with a little pin.
I held up a mirror.
Okay.
Held up a mirror. I asked him to breathe on the mirror. And then I think he was looking for cocaine, but it wasn't there. But then he started to describe the demonic activity in the home from person to person. Because I think at first he might have resented it because we said, like, to the family, like, so the house is kind of haunted. And they're all like, oh, very on brand. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they were excited for us, right?
Sure.
Because they thought, like, oh, we did this on purpose. And we're like, no, literally all of this was accidental, but it's awesome.
Okay.
And so he starts talking about the demon activity in the house. And he's just like, but I've cleaned it. We're like, what do you mean he cleaned it?
Oh my God, he jerked off in the corners of every room.
No. He then did this speech at me. This is like with the whole family. He's like, I believe in God more than any man has ever believed in God.
I don't know if that's even possible.
Normal man can't believe in God the way I believe in God. I believe in God the way Jesus' disciples believe in God. Because I saw the devil right in front of me. And conversely, that means God is physically real.
So he's holding like Hot Pockets? What's he serving to the family?
Our Mexican food that we purchased. We brought Mexican food. It's just like Mad Max Pittsburgh. We love it. It's incredible, right?
He was just giving people chips and talking about God.
Yes. And then he was like, because I told that demon. It came into this home, right? And I told it, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Whoa.
And like, this is a mixed family. We're all like sitting there like, whoa, okay.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, like it's mixed between lapsed Catholic and Satanist.
Well, it's a good thing that he was there then.
Sure. And he kept saying these things. And then we found out that I guess he was arrested for punching his son in a fight in the front lawn. But that's after the fact.
That's after the fact.
But we found that afterwards, after we left all the children alone with him for a while. Not like that, because he said something like, well, you know, it's fine with me.
He punched his son. And, you know, if you're family, you're allowed to fight a little bit.
You have to fight. The father eventually and the son have to fight to see who's strongest, to see who wins mom.
Well, absolutely. I think everyone goes through that rite of passage. Well, that's really a horrible story.
Because he kept saying, like, a demon used to come through and throw streaks of blood throughout this whole home. Throw streaks of blood everywhere, drenched blood. And then I went and I put on my shirt one day to go to work, and I found one single solitary streak of blood on my shirt. And I said, demon, you can strew blood about this home all you will, but you will not strew blood upon my clothes.
Well, absolutely not. It's difficult to get out.
Because it also sounds like he might have murdered a bunch of people in the home under the guise of this demon. He's infested with the demon.
And then, so did you guys spend the night there?
At first we were, but then he kept asking, you're going to spend the night? And then what I was really afraid of is that we'd go to sleep because the upstairs room was again, I don't want to point out the specific house. It was an unnamed first president's room.
Okay.
And we were up there and there was a big portrait above the bed. And I was telling Natalie, because you know, if we lay down in bed, you're just going to see those eyes.
Well, the
roll passage, you're just going to see his two human eyes. Because he did say his payment up front was to watch us make love.
Well, isn't that fantastic? And a compliment to you in many ways.
No,
that is the first president.
No,
so we all know that.
You will have to beep that out.
Well,
that's what we'll have to beep that
we're
out.
We're gonna beep that out.
Yes, because we're gonna have to make sure that this stays anonymous. Because I'm not trying to get this demon's ire, and
no,
I mean the physical
not.
Man that could try to find me. He could try to find me and attack me.
So you got sort of like honey trapped into a situation very where then so. This man got to live the fantasy of being the butler. And then what do butlers get to do? Again, you get to watch the main man and gal
heave
sex with each
oh,
other.
Oh, yeah, heave on top of each other. He also kept saying, he was like, well, I know how it is. I see, we've had Hollywood types in here before. And I'll tell you one
what
thing.
What is it about you?
You're not allowed to investigate. Because when he saw me, I had short shorts on.
That
when I first
so
walked
funny.
In to help in the things, yeah, I was dressed a tiny bit like me. I was just like, I had a just shirt on with like a naked woman on it and tiny little shorts.
What is it with short shorts and your t-shirts that make people think you're a Hollywood type? I just don't think that's Hollywood.
What
though.
Is that Hollywood about? Look at this leg. Feel this leg.
No.
Feel this leg.
I don't want to feel this
Look at
leg.
Feel right up
no,
here.
No, it's good. It's
feel beefy. My balls.
I don't want
suck
to feel
my
your
dick.
I don't want to suck your dick.
I don't know Gosh. Because it, I guess it is because, well, you know, because he grilled Natalie at first. What she did for a living, and then you have to give it up. And then
he's
he
supposed
asked me,
to leave.
But he was really, he was supposed to leave. But
did you
was,
tell him he's supposed to leave?
Same time though, 5-star service. And if you
no,
need
it's
a butler,
not. No, no,
if you
no,
need
no,
a
no.
butler, he's there. But
no, it's an invasive service at best. It's a 1-star. 5-star means that
lovely
I'm comfortable
home.
With what you're doing.
Lovely home.
And but you he, have to go if it's an Airbnb.
He did help me find the spoons.
I'm and, really this man is a psycho.
He but the one thing I will say is
also,
it's
how
like,
could you find the spoons?
He just never took a break. Like, he never went and sat down. He buttled the entire night staring at the whole family, looking at them up and down, wondering if they are enough chips, enough dip. Like, and we're like, well, you don't have to ask all the time. At some point, I thought, like, wouldn't you want to take a break?
You would think
it was
so.
Like 7 hours long.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a long retirement party, by the way.
We were like, then it cascades into the night.
Fantastic.
It was called actually, it's a party kissing.
That's why I've never wanted to be wealthy or I don't feel, I mean, it's nice to have some money as you get older, but I don't feel jealous of wealthy children. Because
oh, they'll
number
never
one,
know.
You can't listen to CCR, Fortunate Son. You know, it doesn't
no,
matter if you're
no,
the
doesn't.
Actual son of a senator.
Doesn't work
also,
for you.
Also, being waited on.
It's weird.
It's nerve-wracking.
It's really strange. It's like any type of like very fine dining thing. It always makes me feel very uncomfortable. Like it's a lot. And
it's also they're judging you. They're judging you.
Yeah, of course they are because you've got, like, and I just trying to live my life. You know, I'm just trying to be a, I want a robot butler so I can yell at it. If
you know,
I have a robot, the idea is robots. Those are the only people that should
know.
Be the quote unquote serving class.
I'm not for the robot overlords with the weapons,
but
I was in a hotel and I did order
right?
beef jerky.
And then jerky for the lonely man. It's like a robot girlfriend.
It kind of is. And he wore a little robot tuxedo and he took the elevator by himself.
It's weird.
And
I remember, I remember that. It was weird.
I remember looking at him doing it. And I was like, are you going to be safe, little robot? And then he
going
just
down.
Went to the elevator.
And then it sucked a little tube going down.
Now
wink,
that's
wink.
A robot. So perhaps robots in tuxedos as a waiter or butler that might work. Well,
I also, there's certain details that I have left out because it would be truly incriminating. But if you knew the actual details behind some of these things, you'd be extra surprised.
About what?
We'll talk about it off mic.
What is this Airbnb? You went to an Airbnb and it's like
it was revealed.
Secret.
It was revealed to me. It was like, I had no clue.
You're in Pennsylvania.
But he kept saying, don't you dare investigate here. And it's been like, I didn't bring
what?
My gear. You know what I mean? I'm not that on brand. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't bring, like, I had a ghost box in the room. I did bring the ghost box with it because we thought it would be kind of funny. But then once butler owner was there, I can't then go like, where are you, ghost? Come and face me, ghost.
Come get me, ghost. It's a retirement party, ghost. No, that's for the best because I'm sure there were some older folks there and we don't need to spook them to death.
No, they were all very interested. They're the ones the most because ghosts are about to be their friends.
I know.
And they like to see who they're about to meet.
Well, speaking of friends, I want to mention this story because...
Well, up top, let's do one thing that we missed, of course.
Oh, yes. With
the second we put out an episode, right?
Of course, this douchebag. We got to go to beautiful South Carolina.
I just want to talk real quick about the details about Alex Murdoch. Again, they are now, again, they didn't actually charge him with murder of his wife and son. They haven't yet.
They're debating charging him with it.
Teaser trailer, they're seeing how it tests.
Okay.
This is a teaser trailer they're trying to see. They say they're about evidence is about to be presented. I don't know.
Well, you know, in a perverted way, isn't a grand jury just it is a test.
Yes.
It is literally the test market for crime.
Yes. And this is one of the, so here's one of the details why it is strange.
Okay.
Here's the detail. All right. So apparently when Maggie Murdoch and Alex with the very end. Right. I don't know. This might be a surprise to you, Kissel, but things were going a little rocky. Their relationship wasn't great. And
what?
So at the time, she was about an hour away. They were rough patch. They were at their family's beach house.
Oh my God. Isn't that
right?
Nice?
They're out there. They're on the bed. So she was out there and she said the night she got murdered, they have this. They've just presented it.
Okay.
Is that she got a text from Alex Murdoch.
Want to play a game?
Might as well have been.
Seven
But
days.
He was just like, hey, my dad's super sick. And I could totally need some help. You really should come see my father before he dies.
So this is the dad of the murder suspect.
Yes.
Okay.
And then she was like, okay, well, what we'll do is, like, maybe I'll meet you at the hospital. And he's like, no. This is a lie, straight up. Alex Murdoch says, dad's at home right now. You should come meet me at the house.
I'm gonna kill you.
Delete. That's what every single time you see the three little bubbles.
And I'm trying to threaten.
I'm gonna kill you. She said, all right, I guess I'll come meet their property. But she just straight up said, like, she texted her friend, Alex is being fishy. He's definitely up to something. Because he kept stressing about how I needed to go there and meet them at the other property with the horse stables. And then when she met at the window
like
to the dog
perfect
kennels.
Perfect place to murder your estranged wife.
Also, her son Paul, because that's where they were found. They were found inside the dog kennels.
Oh.
Because Paul was out there taking pictures of the dog that he was currently dog sitting for his friend.
Well,
and that's
that
where they
nice.
Were found both gunned down. But I definitely think you can see Murdoch doing like a Oswald, like he like jumped up from behind there, bow wow, I'm just a little puppy, and blam 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 blam, like
right.
Them, like, or maybe he was dressed as a dog, and
well,
he thought that they were looking at the. Maybe that's how he set it up. Maybe
he was dressed like the dog.
Paul's friends also in it. I want to find out who brought the dog, because then we can find out whether or not Alec Murdoch, Big Red Clifford, what if he was dressed as a dog to
mean,
be dog sat, and then he's in the pen. They're in the kennel, looking in on him, laying
he's
there.
Big.
Yeah. And they're like, "Well, that's certainly a weird dog you got there, Paul."
Yeah.
And then he's like, "Gotcha, bitch!" And then jumps up and starts shooting the family.
Well, I mean, we have proved that wealth doesn't equal intelligence, so it's possible that he did pull a Shaggy Dog, acted like said dog in the kennel. The family comes around, and then he gets the jump on him, or. There was an actual dog there, beautiful, distracting. You pet the dog, belly rubs during that time. Bam, bam, you hit him in the back.
Look how much weight he's lost in jail.
Isn't that something?
He's looking so good. He's looking so thin.
Jail food is not the best. He'll gain weight in prison once he gets to the canteen food.
Oh, he's so thin. He looked years came off of his life. I wonder if it's because he could finally confess all his crimes.
You know what's so funny is that he just didn't have to do any of this. You know what? Like, he was I don't understand it. Like, it was like with the Ghislaine Maxwell thing. I watched another thing on her. It's like, you're a socialite.
Yeah,
you just don't. All you have to do is not do that, and you can do anything you want.
Just coast. Just live your
it's
life.
Very bizarre.
I don't understand. I feel like the same way about a unnamed billionaire who's just fucking with his own stocks. It's just like a thing where, like, you are just live your life. Just
live
come up with
life.
The fun ideas.
Also, we talked about this on Top Hat. You know about Elon Musk's father, right?
Oh, yes.
He banged out his stepdaughter and had two kids with her.
Now, he knows that
they are disgusting.
When he adopted her, he knew she was going to be a good wife.
Oh, my God.
That's
absolutely
just called
horrible.
Give him the candor. Tell
absolutely.
Me that.
Absolutely. Well,
and now for our next guest, it's me, your host, Alec Baldwin. And we have somebody we're truly excited to speak to today. I still remember the look on his face, the smile on his face when he held up Woody Allen's new book. And also, I still
understand.
Don't know who published it.
I don't.
Who asked for it?
I don't know, buddy. It's not for us. It's not our generation. And Alec Baldwin, God knows, he really brought some powerful people down, didn't he? Well, speaking of powerful people, sex.
What?
Love.
Okay.
And what makes you the most powerful?
Guns and money and sugar. Azúcar.
Being in a good relationship.
Sure. Yeah, that's why I reign supreme overall.
There's a couple. And they were having some issues. The husband said, I have a huge libido and I need to fuck more.
You get it.
But
you know what I mean? Sometimes you got to work that out as a marriage, right? You got to figure out, right? The center of a marriage is a working agreement that you're partners, you're a team. So you got to figure it out.
Absolutely. So the wife said, you got a big old libido. It's one of the reasons I like you, but I can't take it all the time, right? Because she's busy. Maybe she has to go to work.
I it seems like she takes a lot of pictures. She seems innocent.
Yeah, they seem like a fine couple, young. I don't know why they needed to do this, but it's something that they wanted to do. So instead of finding another gal, which a lot of people would, they got They got $1,800 together, and they got a racy replica of the spouse, and they named her D. Now, it's a sex doll, and there's something very sweet about it because it looks just like his wife, although I'm going to say he did inflate the bosom a bit more.
He did.
And if I was the wife, I would say, oh, you want my tits to be like that? Is that what you want my tits to be like?
So this is a subtweet? That's what I would say, pointing at the breast, being like, so you seem to give this one big old floppies, and I have little normals.
Yes, indeed. So Callum is the name of the husband, and he's in a constant mood for sex, and Char is his wife, and she said she was struggling to keep up with her horny husband.
Yes. But then he said, guess what? Which is honestly the most key thing as a husband. You're going to say, yes, okay, honey, you have so much problem. We have libido issues. We have different sex drives. You know what I mean? So what every husband should always do, offer to bring a third woman in as a threesome.
Well, this isn't a woman.
No. That's where it started, Kissel. It started with him floating this very, definitely not a minefield concept to his marriage, saying like, why don't we just bring in somebody else? But she did a good job of like, she was like, let's hold that thought.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was your first mistake, but thank you for your input. I think she did good being like, but what if we swivel if you need that much? What if you have sex with a spatula with a pussy on it?
Absolutely.
They brought in a plastic entity that is silicone. It is a 90-pound chunk of silicone that, to be honest, does that really satisfy your sex drive?
Well, it seems to, because they were looking around for a sex doll, and they couldn't find the right one. So, yes, I think that it's like speed dating. I think you have to look at a sex doll and like which one makes you like, will go up. And then which one makes her vagina get a little bit, oh, that's exciting.
Her vagina's got nothing to do with it. Her vagina is already taking a vacation 2 weeks out of the month.
No, not with Char, because they're doing three ways.
How much of a participant is Char?
Char is the woman. D.
How much of a partition is it? Oh, I mean, her full name, Dirty D. Okay, that's her fucking full name. And I'm not slut shaming the doll.
No!
Because I want dolls to get filled with as much cum as they could possibly withstand.
Well, there has to be a limit.
But I am going to say that this might be this might be insulting.
Wow.
It might be a cry for attention.
What do you mean?
It might be a fake thing.
You think they went to the media with this story?
Because this is another doll-based story, because we've had other doll-based stories that then were also revered, because remember that woman was a part of like a reality television show that she ended up doing this quite a bit for attention. The last woman, the woman who had the doll, because I want to dance with somebody, and then she bought that doll.
Well, don't forget,
her mother made the doll.
Paul Abdul danced with a cartoon cat, no one's complaining then, so why not have sex with a doll and dance with it
every now
and again?
That was a euphemism for interracial relationships.
I know. Char, the wife, she says, there were so many to choose from, but we eventually found D, who we think looks just like me.
It's fine.
Of course, there's something she felt like it wouldn't be as weird if the doll looked like her, so then she could almost be having sex with herself.
The doll doesn't look like her.
A little bit it does.
It just has a head and blonde hair. It doesn't actually look like her.
No, it does.
I actually view her as more attractive
of
than
course,
the doll.
Yes, no shit. She's a human being, Henry. All human beings are more, well, anyway, this sex, yes, she's more attractive than the sex doll.
Fucking God is fucking ass.
She says,
you know what's really disconcerting is the damn feet on it. I don't like those. Those are weird. I actually would feel more comfortable if it was just stumps.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. I'm sure you can get the Vietnam vet version of Char, who has nubs and who is...
Can I get the Lieutenant Dan?
Oh, please, Lord. So Char, again, the wife says, it was the best decision and has definitely improved our sex life. She says, it's great because Callum has high sex drive and I'm not in the mood. He's got D there.
Yes, we know. But guess what? If you fucking asshole, at the very end of the article, Char and Callum are OnlyFans stars and they make 80 grand a month. So this is fucking season four of their... Yeah, dude. This is their season four arc.
Well, it's better than adopting a duck.
Oh, yeah. If they're fucking a duck, that's crime.
They have 2,000 subscribers. I would not pay. I'm sorry. I'm not going to pay to watch somebody have sex with a doll, because you're not watching two. Then you're just watching a man with his weird old hairy buttocks go up and down.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to watch a man have sex with a sex doll.
I don't want to watch a girl have sex with a sex doll. I think that's a little weird.
It's all about presentation. To me, it's all about, you got personality. You got an angle. You fucking on that grind. Show me.
Yeah, well,
show me. Like, come on. Like, because what we say in show, we say when we're telling, we're writing scripts all the time, right?
Yeah.
Show, don't tell. Right?
Show, so don't tell.
Don't just, like, you hear all this bit about you're doing threesomes with Dirty D. With your marriage, it's about to explode, and eventually it's going to turn into some form of real true crime
story. Making $80K a month having sex with each other on camera for OnlyFans.
But guess what? What happens, right? What have we discovered, right? We're friends,
yes.
And we're coworkers, but sometimes
you have
to...
Me.
No, because it's just hard to remember if they could all see, if the people at home could see. If you get on Patreon, you can see how I'm engaging with Kissel in a human fashion, right? I'm engaging, I'm touching, I'm bridging a gap. I'm bridging.
And that's only for our fans.
And I think, you know, how hard is it when you monetize your friendship, right? You monetize your relationship, and we don't even come inside of each other that much.
Not too
if
much.
You have to come inside of each other every day.
Right.
Like, it is going to, eventually, you're going to get, like, if it's on the clock, if it gets a thing.
It,
like,
becomes a job.
It becomes a job.
I agree. You don't want to mix your pleasure with your work. Well, either way, the wife says, we've never put her away in a cupboard.
She should.
So there you go.
She better, because guess what? I think D's making eyes for whole man.
Also, can you imagine? You're just at a random person's house. You open up their cupboard, which I assume in the UK means closet. They just say things a little bit wrong. And then you're just like, oh my God, there's a sex doll in there, Dirty D. And you're like, yeah, that's my little cum gal.
I better be prepped. I'm saying this right now. Okay. This is just, if you know me and if you want me to come over, it won't even stop me from coming over. But at least introduce me. If I'm going to come in there, don't act like it's not fucking there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, don't, because if you do, that's going to be more haunting for me. At least, like, if you act like, you remember in the movie The Boy?
Oh, yes, with the doll.
One of my favorite movies.
The boy was pretty good.
I love The Boy.
Yeah, you know, I like
Dead Silence. I love The Boy.
I like Dead Silence better, though.
Dead Silence is a more superior movie, but
yes.
No spoilers. Technically, they're different genres.
Okay.
They're
remaking Orphan.
They're doing like a
requel.
They're doing like a requel or something like that. She's starting to look more of age.
A little bit, but she is young.
She is still young.
Heart.
It's there are two different genres, because you have the genre of there is a haunted dummy.
Yeah.
Haunted doll. And then there's porcelain doll as child. Different genres.
I guess.
It's a different genre because
I
one
don't
is
no. If it's that different of a genre, I
well,
think
it's because the
be
ending
like,
is different.
I hope so. I hope so, Henry, because it's a fucking movie.
Can't
have the same
side stories. LPOTL@gmail.com. If you can remotely understand the micro sub genres of haunted ventriloquist dummy versus.
You're talking
porcelain
Chucky,
doll treated as real.
You're talking Chucky versus Annabelle.
Because of the ending.
But it's the same genre.
Well, it kind of reminds me of House of the Devil, right? Where he turns up
Love
being
House
like,
of the Devil.
You must watch Mother. Mother's up in the attic.
Yes.
Right? Number one, don't disturb.
Oh, fantastic.
It's more
film.
About, it's more it's like, one is like a haunted, one more is like an evil and bad babysitting story.
Yeah.
And one is, that dummy's bad. Oh, that's a villain dummy. You know what I mean?
I think you're really splitting hairs there, Ebert, yes. But I think it's fantastic.
Bye from your grave.
The Disgraceland podcast tells the insane true stories of music's most famous on their darkest days. That's at night when they're wearing their sunglasses out of the club. Britney Spears, who's a pop princess and generational icon, I don't know if you know her. She was locked into an unconventional conservatorship for 13 years by a man she feared and distrusted. Like we all do, it's our family. Or the Beatles' own Ringo Starr being targeted by trigger-happy extremists. Apparently he wasn't triggered that extensively, because one of the members of his band was triggered the most. Now, this is not the music history you've heard before. This is an uncensored, immersive look at the lives and true crimes of the biggest musical icons in modern history. To hear these stories and more, follow Disgraceland wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing? Ben Kissel here with Henry Zebrowski.
Yeah, it's me, man.
Yeah, bro. Henry Zebrowski is smoking some of that sweet last podcast on the left, babe. So go out there and purchase yourself some. I hope you enjoy it. We have sativa, we have indica, and we have a hybrid. And I have to tell you, from my personal experience, they are wonderful.
Super tasty live resin. You really get the delicious, weedy taste, which is what I like. And
yes.
Three different experiences. You go to your local vape store and get it.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much for supporting the show. We absolutely love you. Can't wait to see you on the road. And get that vape, put it in your brain, and have a good time.
And if you want us at your favorite weed store, give them a call and ask for them by name.
Absolutely.
Last podcast on the left, it's weed.
Hail yourselves, everyone.
Hail Satan.
Well, also, we mentioned summoning a little bit earlier, and we talked about noodling.
That did come up.
Open lines
as
well.
It's kind of funny how there are synchronicities that we've dealt with on last podcast on the left, and how like we'll be researching a project and kind of like. The best one was when we did the JFK series, the week that we dropped.
That was crazy,
JFK won when we first started the Spotify deal, like years ago at this point.
Yeah,
that day, as we released the episode, was also the day that Bob Dylan released his 18-minute JFK rap. which was hot garbage.
I don't know what
happened.
But he
won like a Nobel Prize for it. And it was just, I mean, like, he's that day. That is it. He got to be giving good answer. We big hit.
It's pretty good.
We big hit. How did he?
You got a good Bob Dylan going. I don't know what happened. I don't know why he lost.
Really? Never take that down.
I was in a bit of a.
Always ran a hard tap today.
I was in a Bob Dylan. I wasn't in a funk, Bob Dylan funk, but I was in a Bob Dylan hate mood for a decade or
it
so.
It happens.
And then I did listen to the old stuff.
Oh, I love
and
the old stuff.
It's fantastic. So he was very talented.
I also like when he went electric.
I just don't know what happened.
He just got old, man.
I guess so.
And that's why we're committing suicide when we're 55. Come on, bro.
Woohoo!
Yeah! Ain't no getting no cobwebs on me, bro.
Well, you wait until you're 55.
No, I'm going to be fighting. I'm going to fight every day against death.
Well, speaking of fighting, this is why we don't go camping together or go fishing together.
Well,
either.
This is a very complicated story.
It's not that complicated. It's actually immensely not complicated. Every story we've talked about is more complicated than this.
A man says he killed his friend because his friend summoned Bigfoot. Oklahoma sheriff says, no, it is a little bit more complicated, you think, because there's there's some family lines.
Oh, okay, okay.
All right? Yeah. So a man by the name of Larry Sanders,
coincidence.
He murdered his friend, Jimmy Knight.
Ooh.
He was a troubled man, it seemed, and he went out noodling with his good old new buddy, Larry Sanders.
And of course, noodling is when you go fist fuck a catfish in the mouth.
Now, I don't really know the process of noodling, but from what I can imagine, so what they do is they use their fingers, as you could see.
You put a bunch of bologna in
your hands.
You're
seeing my two husband tools up, right?
Oh,
you're seeing it right here, right?
That is disgusting, Henry.
Right? You're looking at these two right here. You can see it in the Patreon, right? And then they go down in the water and you go,
I don't think they're not just big clitorises.
I don't know.
They're catfish.
Water is wet. So you go in there, right? Squish, 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 and you're trying to catch a catfish with your hands, and you're trying to pull it up into the boat.
No, you don't catch it with your hands. You have bait in your hands, catfish technically catches you, and then you pull it out. And
that's
like,
gotta hurt.
I know. And then you're like, look at my glove. It's a catfish. And then I guess you rip your hand out of that catfish's
mouth.
It's
like Dune, man.
It
Leto
is.
Leto, too.
I don't know the reference, but I'm sure it is.
I wish you'd heal me. I wish you'd understand me.
That's for Holden McNeely.
It's true.
That's for him to be pained with.
So you go and you lift up the, right, whatever. Right? So
it bites you. Then you lift it out of the water.
This is horrible. Get a fishing pole.
Yes, it's not my way to do it. Sure.
Get a fucking net.
But this is just how they get catfish. It's called noodling.
I just think it's more about the process.
Okay.
So they go out there, they win a noodling.
Oh.
And then apparently at some point, things went south.
Yeah.
Because then what resulted in what they say is a 45-minute scuffle between Jimmy Knighton and Larry Sanders.
You took my catfish.
That's my catfish.
Hey, man, that's my catfish, man.
Well, so he beat him and then strangled him to death. And according to this man, Jimmy Knighton, they say they don't know whether or not drugs or alcohol were involved yet. But
he said alcohol was.
Something was. And he said, Larry, he claimed, he believed that Jimmy Knighton.
Did he believe it?
Yeah, he must have claimed it. He beat him to death.
And well, so, you can do that without believing anything.
I know, but he believed that Knighton, he had tricked him out to be on this lake noodling, right? Because mostly, if you're an old buddy, because what we find out is they had recently reconnected over Facebook. They had known each other a long time.
Okay.
And I guess, so Larry claimed that he had just gotten out of jail.
Okay, Larry, right? Sure, he's out of jail. He wants to go noodling. He wants to go fist-fuck some catfish.
His buddy said he wanted to help him acclimate back to society after being in jail.
So you go in the middle of the nowhere go interact with fish.
Again, let's go noodle. When you tell me, if you sent me a text being like, hey, Henry, noodling 7 a.m.,
we'd go with a string cheese concert and we would noodle.
That's how
they dance.
That's our OnlyFans post. That's us noodling each other, right?
Yeah.
Yes, but it sounds like you're sucking dick next to a creek. But
yes, it does.
He said that he believed, actually, that Jimmy was trying to feed Larry to Bigfoot.
I don't think that.
And so that Larry had to kill Jimmy.
I'm a little bit upset that, first of all, this is Bigfootist. They're blaming Bigfoot for doing nothing.
Well, do, also
big
we know
feet are not known for eating humans. Big they don't foots. Think they eat Bigfoots.
Bigfoots are omnivores, but mostly if they were going to eat an creature, they'd probably eat a squirrel or
why
a
would
bird.
They just eat the goddamn catfish?
They probably eat the catfish. You're right. You're absolutely right.
So this man's story, if I'm in the jury,
it doesn't hold water. You're
I
right.
would say, yeah, we all know Bigfoot's real. We all know that.
We all know that. First of all, but we can start right there. We can start with that right there.
They like veggies. They like berries. They might not even be from this realm. They're not going to kill your buddy.
Also, they're not coming out of the hiding unless you got a snapping pussy or bussy ready for the offering.
We've because all seen that footage.
We know this for a fact that Bigfoot is made horny by strangers and people lost and people in tents, which is honestly never get him anywhere near the border.
Anyway, deputies arrested the man on an outstanding warrant and also booked him again for murder. But we'll see if this holds up. I mean, it's a little bit like it was
he's going to go to jail for murder.
We don't know that, though, because we actually don't know.
He murdered the man.
Well, it may have been self-defense if the Bigfoot was indeed attempting to consume him, eat his flesh, and send him to hell forever. So we just don't know what the jury's going to think. If I'm the defense attorney, throw it out there.
I mean,
that's what I would say. Just throw it out
very
there.
Much. That's the only thing he has.
Ladies it's literally and gentlemen the of the only jury, he has. Have you seen a Bigfoot? Have you seen the scat of a Bigfoot? Take a look at his Bigfoot cast. Let him know how large the Bigfoot is.
Oh,
and then say,
you want to do one of those where they go all the way back to the original footage of Bigfoot. Tell the story of Bigfoot first.
Look at this boar being torn apart by this bear. Imagine a Bigfoot three times larger than that bear. Imagine what it could do to that man.
I don't know.
And indeed, if he had not killed his friend, he himself would be Bigfoot lunch.
The only thing, the only
off.
Good thing that
I just
could,
got him off.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think the only truly good thing that could come out of this trial is if Bigfoot shows up for jury duty. And he arrives.
I would never do that. I would never do that.
And then, and then he's like, I guess he probably wouldn't even be admitted.
No,
he's
I don't.
Too close to the case.
He doesn't have ID. You need to have ID. Also, you need to have an address for them to mail you the notice that you have to show up for jury duty, which then you can ignore if you really are smart with that.
So maybe it's up to the county clerks to finally learn the location of Bigfoot.
I think
so. They can send a summons to Bigfoot's home.
Well, we know for a fact he's down there looking at catfish.
Yep.
Wondering if any other boys are going to come and noodle him.
Wait a second. Am I now a witness to murder? What if he's just there waiting on the catfish coming up?
We don't know.
And then he watches these two old men beat each other. Like, and then like one guy beat the other guy to death. And he's been like, I guess now. Do I need to go to the police? But that that will definitely hurt my family.
And then
they're brought in. They're brought into this mess. This true
that's
crime mess.
Horrible. Absolutely horrible. The Bigfoot doesn't deserve any of that.
Listen,
leave
unexplained,
the Bigfoot alone.
Unexplained witness. That's what we call our movie.
Yes. Oh,
and then he's got to get it.
Unexplained witness.
They're trying to flip Bigfoot on to have him like testify, right?
Oh.
But it's all about like, can we save him? Like, is he willing to step forward? Is he willing to like worry about being a whistleblower?
He shouldn't have to, because what's he going to do? He can't go into witness protection. He's a Bigfoot. You can't just move in and be like, I'm an emissary, Bigfoot, and I am your new neighbor. It's like, you know, you're Bigfoot, dude. We saw you testify in the trial.
Can't he just tell people he's like a Chechenian basketball player? I feel like he's one of those, you never know who plays basketball in your
life. I am George Mirasan. I've told you that before, and I'll tell you again. All right. Well, either way, we'll see if that story holds up. And no matter what, he's going to have a great time telling it in jail, because you know for a fact there will be some prisoners who believe him.
Of course. I mean,
wait, what?
It's definitely a fisherman story.
It is.
Yes.
Oh, I wonder if he thinks his friend was like 10 inches taller and he was this big. You get it.
Oh, yeah.
You should have mounted them there. Anyway, don't kill your friends while noodling.
Please don't.
And don't blame it on the god dang Bigfoot.
Or
please.
Just noodle.
Just noodle.
Just noodle. If you're already out there.
You're killing something that's alive. Doesn't that help you a little bit with the urge to kill?
Now, this next story.
This is all about you.
This is all about you.
You did this.
I didn't ask for it.
No, you didn't.
I didn't want to be involved.
But you are.
Now, we're a retired vicar.
What's a vicar?
It's an even more fake version of a priest.
Oh, is that right? I thought he was like a janitor.
No, it is a
religious position. Oh,
More often in the UK.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They call it a vicar. I'm not sure what the exact here, now we're going to get really fascinating.
I guess they just say church leader.
Yeah, it is a church leader. In the Church of England quite a bit, it said. And then it can also be in the Episcopal Church. So that's pretty good. But none of it really explains why he was fucking a vacuum in public. He was at an Asperger's convention as well. His name, John Jeffs. 74 years fun.
I guess.
They found him. I guess it's like they say found. They found as if there was a treasure map leading to him.
Yeah, it's not the legend of Curly's Gold.
No.
What's the name of that movie there?
The Legend of Curly's White.
Yes, indeed. Billy Crystal. He's always so funny.
John Jeff, 74. Now, they found him. He was naked, a part of a pair of ladies' stockings. And then he was caught with the appliance.
He wasn't naked though, because if you've got socks on, that's clothes.
Okay, so they attended a talk about Asperger syndrome. They said that. I'm trying to figure out the exact way they brought this. Okay, here we go. So they all went to this place. It went to where they were holding it. It was at
his
church.
It was a nice event. Okay,
and
sure.
It was like, it had like an office area. And they said they were walking through. It was a Christian faith-based group that they were working with called Parents Talking Asperger's, right?
I think that's fantastic.
It is. Now, the court, they said here that he was in his office at the Baptist Center in Middleton Cheney in September 2020.
He is in his office. This is his zone. Okay.
I'm looking right down the pipe of the camera.
Interesting.
And saying, is this an excuse?
It's not an excuse. I'm just saying it's his office.
It doesn't sound like my defense when I do the live show about how, well, your eyeball shouldn't be seeing me because that's what makes it public.
Well, that's a bit of a lark.
Yes.
But anyway, I'm just saying he is in his office.
But they said the witness walked past the office. And you see, the thing is about vacuum.
Oh, the door is open.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Ah.
It was open. Open and the vacuum was on.
Oh.
And they saw G walk past. He was vacuuming his balls. Because he walked past, the witness walked past, and they saw Jeff's with the lady's stockings on, completely nude. I bet you know what this is. This is one of those, you close the door, it doesn't latch, right? Like, I can kind of see a little
bit. This is how my dog Jerry escapes all the time.
Yes. And is he in a fucking vacuum? And so he probably tried to close the door, maybe, I don't know. And then he was so furious. Or maybe the vacuum was on. They went and they saw him thrusting into a Henry Hoover.
A Henry Zebrowski Hoover.
Which was the name
Hoover
of the vacuum.
Vacuum. Interesting they call it a Henry Hoover. Of course, that's what Henry's nickname is at a buffet. Lol, Raffle, you get it. So the person that walked by, you're just walking by. I wonder what's going on there. Maybe I should look right.
Oh, tiddlywinks.
They said that Mr. Jeffs was standing between two dark chairs.
Yeah, man.
Thrusting his cock into the Henry Hoover. Now, I just have to say, it must be immensely painful because unlike the sex doll, there's no silicone around it. It is just a plastic, rigid tube.
Yeah.
This man is so horny.
Yes.
And I think a reminder that vicars need to marry and find love themselves.
I don't know if marriage will fix this.
I don't know.
Because I don't know. Because they said it was the hardest part. You'll see. So these cities, otherwise clean record.
Clean
obviously, because he loves vacuums.
Absolutely.
So he's always vacuuming that record.
Well, he's got probably one of the cleanest cocks around.
But Jeff, so in a mitigation, they went and asked him, and he said that he threw it out there. He said he's still coming to terms with the loss of his wife.
Oh.
Because I guess
he can't find her.
Because nobody sucked like Meredith. And then he lost his wife at a young age, so this is not even a recent loss. So he's upset about losing his wife a long time ago. And then he's in a lot of pain because he's been ignoring his health and his diabetes is not medicated.
Well, let's not
and
throw
that's why
with
that was his excuse.
Because his blood sugar was low, so he had to have sex with that vacuum. Now, that's crazy. So because of that, he was given an 18.
Yeah, sorry, my blood sugar's low. Hey, I guess you get me a cookie, because if not, I'm gonna start coming inside the refrigerator.
Yeah, I'm gonna have sex with all of your appliances. Please, God, get the blender away from me. I can never resist. He was given an 18-month community order, and I'm just gonna say, when it comes to that, I don't need him around. Like, this is one of those where it's like, you better do public service. No. What if you stay inside? 18 months, stay inside.
Private service.
Private services.
Yeah, you know what you need is to learn what privacy is.
Yes, and interestingly enough,
Because it's not even wrong him fucking the vacuum, right?
It is wrong.
Well, no. It's not. Is objectively, it? No. Because the vacuum can't consent. Not, except for the fact if you see a Henry vacuum. Because it's automatically smiling. If you can see in the picture of the vacuum.
It's the Henry 200.
Yeah, you can see he has a little smile on his face. Which sort of like, it does look like he's asking for it.
Well, I mean, also the Henry 200 does sound like a dick sucking machine. It's unfortunate for you, but he was ordered to pay $845 there in European money, so you can transfer that over however you want. And then the victim, interestingly enough, he got $200. So he saw this guy fucking a vacuum in between two chairs, and he got $200. I don't know if it is it worth it.
I feel like the vicar could have went a long way and have just give that guy $20 straight up. You'd be like, hey, listen.
Just me and you.
All right. Here's $20. Want to spend? She's still good for another. Come on. Come on. She loves it. Look at the look at her. Here's her face. I don't know. She's non-binary.
That is absolutely.
Look at that little face right there, huh? Come on. You can't resist, right?
Well, good for
reminds me of my ex-wife.
Oh, it is sad.
Because he was married to a vacuum for 5 years when he was 20 years old.
Right.
Again, not illegal.
Also, there's a man in Indiana. He's 60 years old. He was accused of dismembering his dead girlfriend with a chainsaw. So everyone mourns differently. And this is horrible.
Do you think that's about mourning?
I don't know. His name was Edward Bagwell. He's been charged with abuse of a corpse, which I would just charge him with like the murder. You know, it's always like they always add like abuse of a corpse. I think it's the murder, really.
Well, actually, a good example of it. As in this, ex-Papa John's employee, he killed his co-workers and then attempted to, quote, have sexual intercourse with one of them that was dead, right?
Ugh.
And so what they tried to do is...
That's not sexual intercourse. It's fucking a corpse. It's necrophilia. It's not sexual intercourse.
Yeah, I really didn't like that they called it upside down frown time. And originally, and then they cut it, and then they tried. That's actually sexual intercourse is where they landed, which is really incredible. So he's 20 years young, and he was a former Papa John's employee. Now, I don't know if Papa himself sent him to do this. I hope he didn't. I'd like to see Papa actually make some claim separating himself from this.
Absolutely.
But he came forward, and he murdered two people, Haley Smith and Dustin Carr. And apparently he'd showed up late at night asking for his old job back. There was a bit of a scuffle.
He really wanted to work for Papa.
He really did. And then he murdered these two people.
Jesus.
And then he volunteered to the police that he had tried to remove the clothing of the dead girl and have sex with her, right?
But this so you is what killed this woman then? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. But the most important thing is that it's also made me horny. But what he's saying, what we're seeing is the reason why they do stuff like add the aggravation to the corpse and all that kind of stuff is that in his plea deal, because he pled guilty and he to serve 2 65-year sentences to run concurrently.
Okay.
But he did that and in the plea, he got rid of the necrophilia charge as well.
Oh.
So he used that because they used the necrophilia charge to add an extra. I don't know if that's true. Side stories, lpotl@gmail.com. I actually wonder because I feel like they do use some of like that to make it harder on you
right.
in the process.
So you can plea out of having sex with a corpse. I mean, it'll be good when they pull his papers in prison when he didn't have sex with a corpse, because otherwise you're corpse fucker and
you'll
probably get you made fun of quite a bit.
I mean, I don't know if they ask you to do like an AMA in jail when
they
do something like that. But I feel like, no, that I'm that's under duress. I'm not talking about after they find you out to be, when they pull your card and they find out you're a necrophiliac, it's not like they're then like super curious.
I think that they treat you differently. They probably treat you like a necrophiliac, but again, you're still not the lowest on the totem pole. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, look at what happened with Dahmer. They did let him get killed, but people were scared of him.
Well,
child
molester.
Kept on being like, I'll eat your dick off. And
yeah, sure.
Like,
you're like,
dang,
right,
Dahmer,
well,
dang.
You know, it's in his track record. Because like, child molester's the very bottom.
Very bottom.
Then bestiality. Right? If you're there for fucking a bunch of horses and you're in jail, they're going to be mad at you. Like, how'd you get here?
Well, everyone loves a horse. Maybe if, dog. Yeah, everyone has a dog.
Yeah. If you're like a serial dog rapist,
right?
You're not going to get a bunch of extra meals at chow.
No.
Yeah.
No.
But then, like, I'd say that's the next step up is necrophiliac. Yeah.
All right. Well, also,
that's just taste levels.
Also, when it comes to Edward Bagwell, that story I mentioned briefly in Indiana, the 60-year-old accused of dismembering his dead girlfriend, apparently he found her dead. And then he was all hopped up on meth because he was smoking meth all night.
Mm.
It's in Indiana, not a lot to do. And then he saw her, he found her dead. She was 61 years old. And then he took a chainsaw and cut her apart.
So he's trying to do the whole, like, I don't know. She just is like this.
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like he does it. It sounds like a lie.
Well, because the autopsy says that this woman died of a heart attack. So I think he was just so met. You know how they like to clean.
So he just went right to cutting it up.
He was, I better clean this up. Oh my God, I better clean it up. So yeah, he used an electric chainsaw to cut off her legs and put them in a bin, stuffing her torso in another bin. And this was also very early hours of July 4th.
Well, I guess it's time for me to take this in my own hands so that I don't get charged by the county.
Isn't that, I feel like,
or maybe it's because you don't want the coroner to see your girlfriend's boobies.
July 4th, 2022, a July 4th to be forgotten, perhaps. It just seems like a lot of horrible things happened.
Oh, yeah. This July 4th, I had one of the best July 4ths I've had in years. I sat alone with Wendy in the dark, and I ate about $50 worth of Chinese food. Night horse. He came around.
Nice.
And I watched Uncle Sam on The Last Drive-In.
Oh, fantastic.
It's fun.
That's a great movie, Uncle Sam. Absolutely a fantastic horror film from back, I believe, in the early 90s.
Yes.
Live from your grave.
A roast as dark as the night, perfect for fueling the cryptid research and mad ravings required for your podcasting. Don't mind the red eyes. He's just trying to warn you of the bridge.
The bridge.
Finally, from the caffeine-addled brains of Springheel Jack Coffee and Last Podcast on the Left, we bring you Mothman's Red Eye Blend. Yes, delicious Panama beans. Go to lastpodcastmerch.com to order yours today.
All right, well, I think it's time for Hero of the Week.
I believe it is.
Hero of the Week.
All right, folks, we have one runner-up. Now, this is going to be a person, so everyone can be happy. His name is Nick Bostic.
Oh, so this is you're doing runner-up first.
This is
second place
up.
First.
Second okay. place Hero of the Week. Nick Bostic. He is a Domino's pizza delivery driver, and he is indeed an actual hero. A house is on fire. Maybe because the pizza was so good. And he said, dang, that house is on fire. Bostic said it looked like hell, if you could imagine what hell looks like, and we can.
I can. Your pretty face is going to hell. It's on HBO Max right now.
Kind of a funner version of hell, though.
Yes, it is. But it's relatable. It's like
it's
funny.
Relatable.
It's like an office comedy, but it's also kind of silly.
All of a sudden, he sees this house is on fire, and he realizes there's occupants inside. So he says, I took a deep breath. I ran down there, and I closed my eyes, led with my hand, and used my ears to sense out where the child was crying from. I snatched the baby up and put her in my arms.
Dude, it was wild. I saw the video of this because they have the body cam footage from the fire department.
Also, he did it.
Yes.
This is
a classic.
I'm not going to do it. But it just seems like civilians are taking they're doing a lot of the risk.
It seems that to me across the board, it's happening quite a bit where there's a lot of people where it's kind of on us to save each other for some reason, where he saw the fire go. One of the kids was like, my brothers are inside. He ran in, he got two of the kids out. The kids were like, there's the babies inside. And so the body cam, you see, it's like,
it's
a move. It looks
really
fucking Unbreakable. Like where it is a Domino's delivery dude coming out of a burning home, like flame behind him with a child like in his hands. It's a miracle.
It really is. So police body cam video captured the moment Bostic ran from the burning home carrying a 6-year-old child.
And according to Nick, he said, thanks for that, they're moving him to Crazy Bread. And I really want to say, like, you remember who was the Wendy's employee with the guy that worked there for 45 years?
Was Burger King, and they gave him some snacks.
Yeah.
And that was sad. But this man probably does need a movie made based upon him, Nick Bostic. And if you are Domino's, and, you know, this is a capitalist society, make some money off of this. This man needs to be in every one of your commercials. And it just goes to show you that, indeed, delivery drivers are the fabric that keeps this country together.
And Nick Bostic, if you're out there, if you're a listener, sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com. We have a hero's welcome for you.
Well, a hero's runner-up.
Yes. You don't get anything, right?
No, not for runner-up.
Yeah.
But he gets the no. First of all, he's going to get laid a bunch. Second of all, any burns he has, you want to know how I got this?
Even if that's one of your pizza cheese burns.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
make it up. If you have a scar, make up a story.
So who won? If that's the winner, it's somebody bringing down the Trumps. What's happening? Is it somebody out there? If we beat Russia, kiss all this inflation down.
There's an alpaca who thinks she's a dog. Now, isn't this fun? So, now, alpacas, now some people eat their meat, and I don't eat their meat because I think they're super cute.
You shouldn't eat
an
alpaca meat.
Okay, so it's a two-year-old alpaca, and her name is Annie, and she was rejected by her mother, and so she was bottle-fed every 2 hours by owner Danny Burns. Now, this made the alpaca think I'm a dog, and she's not. So Danny describes keeping them as an addiction, because Danny loves alpacas, and I hope he's not doing anything wrong with them. But Annie grew up in a very luxurious life as a family pet, and even so funny.
Well, at least I don't fuck alpacas.
Well, we don't know that. So Danny's a father of three, and he brought Annie everywhere, and she lived in the house with the three dogs and two cats. However, she has since been barred from the house because she was chewing on cables and raiding profiteroles.
Honestly, technically, that's kind of not hero behavior. Because you're like, you're ruining the home she was to
even,
carry you.
She was even opening the door with her mouth. But she prefers
so
to
clever girl.
Yeah, she prefers to socialize with the three Labradoodle dogs and believe she is one. She loves to relax on car journeys, and she loves to stretch her head out the window. So, recently, she actually charmed a traffic cop.
Wow, that's not difficult. Now tell me, what's the alpaca's name?
Annie.
Now, Annie, much to human name, Annie, the alpaca. If you're a listener, email sidestoriespotl@gmail.com. We have a hero's welcome for you because
absolutely.
You are Kissel's choice. Not the man who chose. He didn't save those babies because God knows those kids could grow up to be.
Oh, would you kill Hitler if you had a chance?
Right. It could be little Mussolini's. We don't know what those
we
kids
don't
were.
Know.
He could have actually ruined us all.
Maybe God has a plan. I'm just getting there. I think it's fantastic that the kids are alive. However, again, are they an alpaca who thinks they're a dog? Probably not.
No.
The dad there remembers she was in our house for 6 months getting bottle fed every 2 hours. She was eating everything. Toy soldiers, ribbons, bits of plastic. She's a nightmare.
I just can't. I can't fight against that anymore.
What
so I'm just
going to
let it happen. I'm just going to, what was that?
Profiteroles.
Profiteroles.
What the fuck
that
is a profiterole?
That is a pastry.
That's cute. It's alpaca thinks it's a dog and it eats pastries.
This is the content you want, right? This is the content you've asked for. This is the content you've... So, yeah, I'm just letting this happen. I'm going to let it happen. I'm not fighting anymore for you. So, you know what? Like the U.S. government does, I'm putting it to you. If you don't want Kissa to choose an alpaca that thinks it's a dog is hero of the week... You got to take it in your own hands.
Oh,
all right,
absolutely.
And you got to be a hero. That's what I'm going to say. Make the news if you want better heroes in the news.
Well, one guy saved a bunch of kids, and he only got runner up. So anyway, she wants nothing to do with other alpacas. She hides when she sees them, and she has a superiority complex over them. You know, Annie is kind of a bitch, but isn't that fun? She thinks she's a dog.
You know what? It is fun and it's simple.
It's simple.
That's what I like about
That's
it.
That's what we need in today's era.
Some simplicity.
You can't even go noodling without Bigfoot trying to kill your friend.
We just need to, you know what we need to bring back? We just need to I think every third person should get a lobotomy.
This town needs a lobotomy.
We just need to get back to simplicity.
I agree with that.
So here we go. Here's some listener emails.
Fantastic.
Here we go. Now we were talking last week about, remember stunt corpses?
Yeah.
I love this. I actually got a lot of good people were really into it. I got a couple offers to make a death mask. Please hit me up. I would love for you to make my death mask when I die. Hopefully you're around when the time comes.
Do you make it when you're alive still?
You do it right before,
oh.
I think. Or you do it, maybe I'm wrong. I think that you might do it in the moments, because it might be difficult, or the moments after you die.
I don't want to sit through makeup right before I die. It's like, ugh, get off of me.
But I feel like it's back in it. It was more an old practice when people used to have elongated waits, where people would go with like wakes, and people would have the viewing times for a long time in somebody's house.
Mm-hmm.
But I got some interesting responses from a mortician. I like this one. You guys were talking about coroners reconstructing a shotgun suicide victim's face.
Ooh.
That's actually my job.
Oh, my.
Coroners, medical examiners will determine a cause of death and sign a death certificate, and then they give us the bag with the person in it.
Okay.
Now, once we get them, we'll assess to see what kind of shape they're in.
Not good.
No. In some cases with gunshots, the damage is minimally superficial, so it's easier to cover the area with wax and put makeup over it.
Okay.
In the case of someone's skull being blown apart, I would strongly recommend to the family that they don't view him.
Right? I think so.
Families are aware of the kind of condition their loved one is in. So you maybe don't have to sugarcoat it, but maybe you don't have to sugarcoat it, but maybe you shouldn't be outright rude either, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, like, hey, like, she's the difference here, I like the way they put this. The difference between, well, you know, his face is blown apart, he's all fucked up, versus saying, having personally viewed him, I would recommend that you remember him the way that he was. Seeing him now will not bring you any comfort.
Sure, she's good,
that's
dude.
That's a good shift.
That was like some jujitsu right there. You know, I don't think I need to see him. Thank
you.
Yeah,
you're right. You're right, because wow. It is harrowing, right? In the case that they insist on seeing the body.
Who would it? No, goddammit, I need to see the body immediately.
You would be surprised. We will try to clean it up as best as possible.
Oh, man.
And have the family sign legal paperwork saying that we are not responsible for any trauma that you incur.
Also, don't hork on the body, please, when you see it.
Straight up. Generally, after viewing the body, families will opt for cremation or a closed casket. In a conveyor belt guy's case, like the guy we talked about where they scraped him up.
Oh, my God.
Right. The family may bury a mostly empty casket for the ceremony and symbolism.
I don't like... Why? Why?
It's just how it is.
Isn't that also super expensive?
Here's the thing. People really like the ceremony, obviously. I think it helps people with closure.
I
like
know.
It's a part of that. It's bringing people together. They get to sit, like, symbolically say goodbye. I want to be, like, in a tomb. I want no one to see me. I want to be, like, enshrined on a piece of land and then you have to come find me later on.
You want the Han Solo death. You just kind of want to be frozen in some kind of strange thing there, metal or something.
I want to be a questionable antiquity in the future. Like, who lied here and why?
I feel bad for all the grave robbers in the future opening up all these corpse cases, which is a casket, and all empty.
Nat and I talked about this. If we ever own land, I'm going to buy a backhoe and dig up a bunch of holes in the land and put caskets in the land, right? Put like a mannequin that look dress it up to look like Osama bin Laden and one to look like Jimmy Hoffa. And I act like I have all these bodies, and eventually someone comes and digs up all the land, like, oh, and then they find out it's a huge prank.
That's a really long prank.
I'm hope to have a long retirement.
Okay.
And so, if the family really wants an open casket, and if it's at all possible, I would begin by gathering pictures of the decedent. I would then try to rebuild his skull with as much of the existing bone as possible, and then rebuild the bone with plaster or mortuary compound. And after that dries, you would rebuild the skin with clay and cosmetics. Obviously, there's a lot more that goes into it.
Yeah.
This is the short version. But short anecdote about a family who wanted a viewing when we advised against it. A lady had been dead for multiple days to the point of insect infestation.
Oh, mama.
But her family insisted that she must have died overnight. They demanded that she have a public viewing, and multiple funeral homes refused. My boss accepted the case. Long story short, the visitation was filled with comments of, "What's that smell?" and "Granny smells really funny." Listen to your funeral directors.
God,
that's it.
Yes, I mean,
oh, yes.
I am very torn on the open casket.
The only way I'd have an open casket is if I could fly out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I do think, you know, it is important to be close with death to realize how permanent it is.
Yes, you should see, like, it meant a lot to me. Like, now that I've been to a couple of funerals, it's great.
Oh, so fun.
I love it.
I'm mixed on that. I'm mixed
don't
on
like
the
it.
Open casket.
No. Well, to me, it depends. I think the one thing that really helps me, and maybe this is personal, but at least it's like, that is my loved one. I'm seeing my loved one in front of
definitive
them, and I'm saying
proof.
Goodbye. And I'm saying goodbye to them, to their face. Like, and it's nice.
But
like,
it's not
to
their
the
face.
No,
it's a reconstruction.
But also sometimes it's helpful to see that whatever they are is no longer there. And then it's nice to know that they have passed on.
You know what was interesting? When my opa died, that's my German grandfather.
Yes.
So we were sitting there, and then they say, okay, it was all in German. And then everybody left. And then they're like, you can stay. And I was like, I'll stay. And then they slowly lowered it down. And then
it's very
and then
scary.
You could hear the fire. And they cremated him right there. And so you heard him like burning.
Wait, did they
like,
send him straight to hell?
Yes. Like literally, that was basically it. And then I think my aunt ended up running out of the room screaming. I don't know. And people weren't thrilled.
Yes.
But that's the way it works there. And in Germany, because they have so much death, you only get the land for like 20 years and then they got to kick your ass out.
They take you out. No, in New Orleans, they do the same thing.
Is that right?
Well, you do back in the day, they had licenses that you could buy to keep your body there in perpetuity, whatever, perpetuity. And so you go and look at it and you can see markings on the graves of the ones that they have to maintain their graves forever because of an investment somebody made in the 1700s.
Dude,
it's cool.
Done,
that's
I'm done
cool.
leasing at death. I'm just done leasing. I don't want it a fucking rental.
Boo. All right, here we go. This story comes from my mom. She passed away in 2017, but she was an ER physician, and she had the most brutal gallows humor I've ever witnessed.
I would imagine.
And she was the most badass person I've ever met. But this is one of her favorite stories.
Okay.
My mom grew up in a little suburban town in Long Island in the 50s and 60s.
Long Island!
Her little sister was the only big girl in their neighborhood. And because of this, a neighborhood boy, Ronnie, used to stalk her when they were in junior high and high school.
It ain't right.
Ronnie thought it was hysterical to come to the house, ring the bell, then ask in a creepy, giggling voice, Is she home? I want to take her out on a date. Right?
I don't know, Ronnie.
And he'd wait on the stoop just giggling like at his amazing joke until he got bored. Then he'd go home. He did this all the time to the point where it went from some mean joke to just weird and eerie. My mom said that whenever she answered the door to tell him to get lost, he'd have this unhinged, self-satisfied look on his face that she would think to herself, this kid's going to be an axe murderer one day. Because it would be like, gotcha.
Yeah.
Right? Cut to about 10 years later. It was the mid-70s, and my mom had made it out of Strong Island and safely into Manhattan. She was hanging out with friends one night when one of them points to the TV and says, Betty, isn't that where you're from? It was breaking news report about the brutal murder of a family of six. A photo of the little neighborhood boy who was all grown up was on the screen. Sure enough, creepy little Ronnie DeFeo,
whoa,
who was her neighbor, killed his parents and all his siblings in their
and
house down
Medieval.
The block.
Yeah.
And my mom's sleepy hometown of Amityville was on the map. She was always used to say she was just disappointed in herself that she guessed the crime but got the wrong murder weapon.
All right. Well, that's, of course, the shotgun that was used in that case. That's one of the
rifle.
Large rifle. But, of course, they say the children are in bed. They didn't wake up. And who knows what the hell happened.
Well, now there's a story that maybe the sister helped and then he off
is
the
that
sister.
Right?
Yeah, there's like one of those theories. And also it's weird about what loud noises when you sleep actually can be even like pulled into your dreams and shit.
I've slept through an earthquake here.
Of course.
I got a text from Eddie being like, are you okay? And I was like, oh no, what did I do last night? And then he was like, no, there's an earthquake. I was like, I didn't feel anything.
Yeah, I feel good. But guys, I want you to come check us out. Ed Larson and I, speaking of, we are performing at the Pack Theater in Hollywood, Los Angeles, July 26th. Come and check it out. Tickets are $10. I'm going to put out there with Classy and Out. Come see it. I don't afraid who else is on the show, but it's going to be a cavalcade.
I love it.
Of amusing bits and banter.
And it's a beautiful little theater. I love it. It's a nice black box theater. Intimate.
I love it.
You'll be able
to
smell
it. It's intimate. And also, this week, we are going to be at San Diego Comic-Con. Come check us out. Friday, we have got a really fun panel at 10:30 in the morning. We're with David Desmalchian. Can't wait for you. Come check it out. It's going to be fun. We're going to be talking our comic book, Last Comic Book on the Left. We're going to be talking about the second volume, talking about comic books in general and just being creepy. Can't wait.
It's going to be so much fun. That's right. So we'll be on a panel Friday, July 22nd, 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. It is in room 10. And then also we'll be doing a Last Podcast on the Left signing Friday, July 22nd as well from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. And then Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. So they're just a quick little time there, but we can't wait to see everyone at Comic-Con. And then we don't have a show there for the first time because we just want to enjoy Comic-Con.
You get to just hang out.
I can't wait to see all the fun costumes. And this is going to be a big one.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be very big. We'll be walking around. Can't wait to see you.
Yeah.
Truly, if you're there, come say hi. It's
going
to be a lot of fun. And then, you know, we got our European tour. I think we got ads running on that. I'm not going to roll through all that. Can't wait. It's been good. Feeling strong.
Absolutely.
Feeling toy.
Sure.
Yeah, man. Live your day tight like me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All day long, I just think about my side body. Now it's bikini season.
It is, baby.
And you know what's good? One thing that's weird about doing chest exercises is that sometimes it just makes your tits bigger.
I know Big E, a pro wrestler, he has the biggest tits.
Yep.
But it's because he's one of the best bench pressers in the world.
That's the problem, though, is that it does. It just moves the muscle behind the tits, and then you become more and more like Dolly Farton, which
yes,
is what
indeed.
I've been calling
well,
myself
gonna,
on my own.
Nice wreck.
So love your big tits.
Absolutely.
If there's discharge, you got cancer, call a doctor. If you got cancer, you know what all you can do? Got to laugh about it because it's really difficult. And to celebrate Julia Johns, who actually was just diagnosed with breast cancer.
I am loving you.
This is great.
Absolutely drowned right now during Triple L.
Oh, God. It just fucking...
It's been an interesting
minute. It's hot in here. It's hot in here. But Julia Johns, our
truly,
wonderful friend,
course.
One of our oldest friends, she just got diagnosed with breast cancer. She got a double mastectomy, but now it turns out that it has spread, and she's good. She's still got it.
She's strong like balls.
She's about to do chemo, but check it out. Go follow her on Instagram to go see information for a giant party that is happening in Los Angeles. If you're in Los Angeles, our friend Mindy Tucker, who is one of the best photographers in the business, is doing shots. If you come and you donate to Julie John's Cancer Fund, and go check it out. It really means a lot.
And you can find her on Instagram at Hey Julia Johns. That's J-U-L-I-A Johns.
And just try not to, and that's with an H, with Johns. I just, don't flame her. You know what I mean? Don't rip it or shreds on there.
What kind of pervert doesn't have the H in the Johns?
John Stewart.
Yeah, but that's a made up name. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you're doing well. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations, everyone.
Amy.
See you at Comic-Con.
Comic-Con. Can't wait.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.